I believe so, yeah.
Okay. So I'm Aaron Finnegan. This is Noah Fulmore. I write for a bunch of places. I write for Otaku USA Magazine, where I review anime. I write for Anime News Network. I have a weekly column called Shelf Life that I took over a couple years ago. Anyone read Shelf Life? Hooray.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yay, thank you for coming. Noah and I have a podcast. It is called the Ninja Consultant Podcast. We have not put up a new show since March because Shelf Life takes up all of my time. I'm recording this panel, so maybe it will be on the show. No, I do plan on putting up a podcast about Otakon because I'm registered under my podcast as press, so I should do that. This panel is really long with a lot of slides. Hopefully we'll still have time at the end to take people's questions, but we might have to skip through a few titles. What it is like, for several years I've been collecting unusual, like, different manga things, which I'll define that in a minute, but I eventually split this panel into several different panels, including one panel just about, like, food and culinary manga, so there's a big section on that. And then, like, for Otakon, I only got approved to do one panel, so although normally it would separately be, like, you know, weird, unusual manga topics and another food panel, in this case I've put them back together, so it's a bit over time than it would usually be. So we might not have time to go into much stuff, and we can't really stop for questions until the very end, so pardon me for that. All right, so and then Noah and I, in the last minute or so, Noah and I are also famous-ish for we got married in Zero Gravity in 2009, and if you look up Zero Gravity Wedding on YouTube, you can totally see our
Thank
wedding.
Thank you. Well, it's, yes, okay.
It was awesome. You have anything to say about it? Ready?
Yeah.
All right. Ahead. Unusual manga genres. This is the Otakon edition. I've added perhaps 10% new content if you've seen this at a previous con. All right. We all know there are several basic manga genres. You've got your shonen, your seinen, your shoujo, your jose for, you know, boys, girls, and older men. And the word genre, I have a definition. cipher discourse, whether in blah, blah, blah. Based on some stylistic criteria, genres are formed by conventions that change over time as new genres are invented and the use of old ones is continued, often works fit into multiple genres by way of borrowing and recombining these conventions. All right. So the kinds of manga I cover in this panel, I like to say, fall into sort of the sports and leisure trivial pursuit pie, where we have, like, sports, games and hobbies, cooking, pets and animals. We're cutting out politics. We have some salaryman manga, but not very much. And I'm not covering underground Phantom Thieves or Yankee manga in this panel, but I do recommend you look into those things, because those are all awesome. And I've included this scene from Peepochu, which is an OEL manga by Felipe Smith, who is awesome. And you should check out Peepochu at the Vertical booth here in the convention. And it's about a guy who gets really obsessed with Pokemon and learns what he thinks is Japanese from it. It's not quite Pokemon, it's called Peepochu. And he goes to Japan and he learns that it's not the, like, otaku wonderland that he thought it would be. So here he is on the train, and he notices, like, he sees businessmen reading comics. But then he realizes the kind of comics that people are reading on the train aren't, like, you know, what he thinks of when he thinks about, like, anime and manga. It's, like, people playing sports and cooking and stuff about salarymen. And his Japanese friend explains to him, she's like, here comics can be about everything. It's about, you know, people's daily lives. I'm kind of, like, skipping over this, not reading the text very much. And then he thinks it's great, because she says, you know, manga, comics are about absolutely any topic imaginable. And that really, I think, covers all of the themes in this panel, so I wouldn't include it. I was going to break down that in Japan, Japanese comics break into a bunch of really fine demographic slices. Like, we have the original Big Comic magazine for older male readers, Big Comic Spirits for males 20 to 25, male readers age 25 to 30, and this one, which is written by men over 50 for readers over 30. So, like, the same magazine has all of these editions for all of these different demographic slices. It's really crazy. So there's a lot of, like, sort of mains. There are some sports manga you can get in English. iShield 21 is one people generally know about American football. I think it was funded by the NFL to popularize American football in Japan. Whistle is a really great soccer comic. I haven't read it, but I've heard it's awesome. Angel Cup is a Korean comic that I think is more about, like, ecchi stuff than actual soccer. It's about a girls' soccer team. And then there's Suzuka, which I think is disappointingly not enough about track, because I was in track and cross-country in high school, and I really want to read, you know, a manga about, like, a girls' track or cross-country team. Suzuka is essentially Love Hina, but, like, also with a track team. Like, the kid even... the kid also lives... He even lives in, like, a... I usually stand up when it is. He also lives in, like, a hot springs hotel and whatever with his aunt.
The mature content sign up there at the top should clue you in that you may not have been getting a track and field manga.
All right. This is a real track and field manga that I randomly bought at Book Off in New York City, which is apparently from 1998 to 2001. It's about six volumes long. But you can tell how hardcore it is because the protagonist is, like, naked on the first page. It's got very, like, Matrix-y running lines. He's kind of warping reality as he runs. Like, oh, the Animatrix, if you've ever seen that. Here's, like, a more sedate track and field manga. This is about a long-distance runner. I think it's a biographical story. It's 39 volumes long. It was must have been popular enough in Japan that they did a live-action movie in 2008. Here's some scenes from that comic, which I kind of found randomly. I think this really kind of captures more of the feel of long-distance running. There's sort of, like, room to breathe in the panel. And as the story goes on, he's in more and more races. And here's a scene of an actual, finally, like, sort of girls' cross-country team running. I like this panel because, or this page, because the coach is, like, too fat and follows along in a car. They're pretty good. So one time when I was in Japan, it was during the Tokyo Marathon, and I picked up this random, there was, like, a marathon interest book section in the comic store. And there was a, this author does an autobiographical comic about her running her first marathon. She's pictured there on, like, the OB band. So when she starts, she's not very good. she's not usually a runner. And she's describing, like, scientifically how she feels like a fish flopping around without oxygen in the upper left there. She talks to a nutritionist at one point. And so there's, like, you know, real content in the book. Autobiographical manga is always really interesting. Here's, like, an actual photo from the race. And, like, she's running slowly enough that, like, funny costume people are behind her. And then there's sort of, like, regular kind of more normal sports like volleyball. But I like this one because it looks like men's volleyball from the 80s. So, 70s? Okay. Here we have rugby manga. Awesome. I don't know anything about it. This is a badminton manga, Smash. And I did this panel once with someone else who spoke Japanese, and she said that, like, she wasn't athletic, and she was an exchange student in Japan in a Japanese high school, and she was like, I have to join a club or a sport, and I'm not athletic, so I'll go out for the badminton team, because here in America, we think of badminton as, like, a backyard kind of thing. And then when she got there, they were like, all right, everyone run 40 laps. And she's like, ooh, because it turns out badminton is a really hardcore sport in Asia. Here's some badminton scenes. This is volume 11. It's actually an 18-volume series, and it's complete in 2010. Here's another badminton, more like a shoujo badminton series. What I like about this one, if you can read katakana, is the title is Badogoru, Bad Girl. And there's badminton manga, you know, dating back to the 80s. So here are a couple more badminton titles. If there's badminton manga, you might be wondering, like, is there ping-pong manga? There is. This ping pong title is actually by Taiyo Matsumoto, who is a most excellent artist. And if you haven't read Tekken Concrete, it's available as a one-shot manga. You need to. It's amazing. It's better than the movie, but the movie's also quite good. I recommend them both very highly. There's a movie based on ping pong that has a bunch of, like, crazy special effects. I haven't seen it, but it won the 2003 Audience Award at New York Film Festival. Anything that wins that audience award, you should totally see. This is, like, a list of amazing movies, and a lot of them are things that Viz Film, their live-action film division, puts out, like My Sassy Girl, Ping Pong. Actually, I haven't seen Please Teach Me, The Taste of Tea, that kind of thing. Anyway, check it out. All right, here's another ping pong manga. That's more like...
Yeah, that you may be
familiar. This one is really
with.
Grotesque. So a few years ago, Central Park Media released the anime of Ping Pong Club. Ping Pong Club is more like Beavis and Butthead playing ping pong. It's more like grotesque. That's like the literal description, like grotesque kind of guys with, like, you know, butt jokes and whatever. But it's really funny. I also really enjoy it. Although now in the light of more extreme, like, Adult Swim kind of humor, like Ping Pong Club might seem less... No, it's still really extreme.
No.
I also like this other ping pong title that we found, Ping Pong Boss. A salaryman fights against his boss on vacation at ping pong at the hot springs. I like combining these sort of salaryman and ping pong genres at once. Okay, so there's ping pong manga. There's, of course, also golf manga. What's remarkable about this isn't individual, like, golf manga series. These are individual golf manga magazines. Like, these are anthology magazines filled with exclusively comics about golf. Golf is super popular in Japan. It makes sense there are comics about it. One of the classic golf mangas is by the author of Doraemon. And Doraemon is super popular all around the world, except here. And this series looks kind of like... I like to think it looks like Little Abner playing golf, but not really that many people would get that joke. But he's kind of a barefoot poor kid, and he's playing golf. I would like to think he's a poor kid playing golf with just, you know, one club against rich kids. I want to see him beating the rich kids. I happen to have the opening theme song here, which is awesome. If it plays. Play. Oh, no. Is it not working? Noah, talk.
Hey, so... Pro Golfer's Sorrow, as you hopefully will see shortly. Yeah, here we go.
Totally.
The opening
Why do you betray me, PowerPoint?
Demonstrates this incredible golf shot.
I'm showing that. Don't talk
I know,
about that.
But pay attention. Pay attention to exactly what's going on there, because I find it highly amusing. Here we go.
Oh yeah, I think this show is like 140 something, like 104 episodes long. I found out because Uniqlo was doing the Shonen Sunday 50th anniversary t-shirt designs, and there was one and it was called, sorry, here we go. It's also really great animation.
Aboosh.
Is he going to make it? In several ways. He sinks it.
All right, now he was timing each of those waves. He's looking out and he's getting the timing exactly right. That's ridiculous. Anyway.
And amazing. Will it go back to the slide I was on? Yes. Awesome. Okay. This particular golf title. Oh, man. All right. Sorry. No, go away. Stop doing that. Okay. Sorry. Noah, say something. Oops.
We seem to be having some technical difficulties.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just on golf manga in general.
Okay.
Oh, wait. We got it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So this one is a golf manga title by Kazuo Koike, the author of Lone Wolf and Cub, Lady Snowblood, Samurai Assassin. This is his awesome golf title, where he uses, like, you know, actual real photos. I kind of like this. You can tell the real woman in the real PGA Tour headquarters. What I like about this is, like, 4 or 5 volume manga. You can tell he's the evil golfer because he has, like, a scorpion on his black polo shirt. Here's more. This looks more like a Kazuo Koike manga.
Yeah.
He's, like, super hardcore. And he's pretty bad. So then, here's another random golf manga I picked up from Book Off with a super dramatic scene. I think the guy in it is some kind of gangster where he makes the super dramatic shot, but as you can see, the ball has just sort of fallen off the tee, and his, like, enemy on the golf course realizes this isn't a snickering him. And then you sort of get the chapter break as he just stands there, and a tear.
Single manly tear.
This panel is all about manly tears. And you can tell he's very sad because, like, when he was growing up, probably just like Tiger Woods, his dad made him play, you know, outside in his underwear. Like, even in the rain and snow. The next panel is not PG, so I didn't include it. Okay. There is one golf manga title that you can get. I mean, you can't get the golf manga of Dando in English, but it's a long-running sort of shonen thing. 29 volumes with some sequels. You can get the anime in America. I have not watched it yet, but I am meaning to. It's 25 episodes. Bandai put it out in 2008. I have no idea why. Because you know how much kids love golf. Like, 10-year-old boys. They go nuts for it. Okay. This is No, 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 and I think that's a humorous title because it is a ski jump manga. It's from Dengeki Daio magazine, so I have questionable about how much sports content might be in it because that's a kind of really moe title. So we're going to come transitioning now on into winter sports. And when I think of the Winter Olympics, I think of one thing. I think of curling. This manga is Orange Range. It is a manga about curling that I think is 4 or 5 volumes long. I've included some panels because I, you know, got this when I was in Japan. So there's, as like any sports manga, it's about a girl who doesn't know much about curling, but she could probably has the potential to be the greatest curling person of all time.
Because her mother,
or maybe,
was
yeah,
the greatest
sweeper
of all time.
So what I like about this panel, I think they're explaining the origins of curling, which I assume was invented by these gentlemen in top hats with brooms in the 1800s. What's remarkable about this is not that there's just one manga about curling. There are two. This July 2010 title is called Sweep. I didn't check to see if it was still going. So now we're going to move sort of into things we might not always consider sports in America, like fishing. Although fishing is an outdoor sport. This is Fishing Crazy Sanpei. Fishing Crazy Sanpei is remarkable because, like, it's a huge classic in Japan. 65 volumes long, and, like, in Frederick Schott's book, he talks about the exact popularity of Fishing Crazy Sanpei, comparing it to, like, okay, Schott compares it to Valley of the Dolls, which was the best-selling novel of the world at the time, because he was writing his book, like, Schott was writing his book in 1985. Valley of the Dolls, as of 1985, it's still, like, 27 million copies between 1966 and 1983, compared to like Fishing Grace to Sanpei, which sold like 19 million copies. So that's kind of like the gigantic scope of Sanpei. Although Sanpei is a lot older, so it's a little bit harder to find the actual manga of it. It's only like in recollected editions, but I have a few pages here. It's kind of like more like a crazy Shonen Jump sort of fishing title, where it's not quite realistic. And I saw when I was in Japan, there was like an anniversary movie that was a live action Sanpei movie that came out maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And if you're wondering, does Sanpei ride a CG fish in the film? Yes, he totally does. Spoilers. This is like fish porn. Like, look at the scales on that. It's amazing. By the way, I'm not really into fishing or golf, but I'm really into fishing or golf manga. So this is the T-shirt that I got from Uniqlo, which is how I found out about it, and a recent cosplayer from Comiket. So Fishing Crazy Sanpei, well-remembered and well-liked. This is Mokuno from Clamp, and she's posing with the author of Fishing Crazy Sanpei that she says, like, this is one of my favorite comics. And this is in her kimono book that Dark Horse put out, where it's just photos of her kimono collection. Here's another fishing title, Diary of a Fishing Fool. It's also like super famous, 72 volumes of manga ongoing, 36 episodes of anime. Another weird bit about Diary of a Fishing Fool is just like about an office guy who like skips out on work to go fishing. So there are 18 live action movies. They're kind of like made for TV movies. There's like there's a new one every year. It's just like a thing. Like,
is that Shaq in the corner?
No, I think it's someone who looks like the Taibo guy who's like really famous now in Japan. But I don't think it's him. But yeah, that one's from a few years ago. So yeah, you can sometimes see them in San Francisco. There is one fishing title you can get in English. It is Bassmaster Ranmaru, and you can get it from ebookmall.com. Unfortunately, it's not very good. I think it got 1 star in Manga the Complete Guide. For about $3, this is a really early attempt at like digital manga from several years ago. And it's not very exciting. Actually, I never finished reading it, and it's really hard to get the Adobe software to read it. But anyway. All right. So this is Gayball Parkman. Natsume Ono is the author of Restaurant Paradiso and Restaurant Paradiso and Five Leaves and House of Five Leaves. Gateball in Japan is croquet. That's what they call croquet. So this is a croquet manga. And anyone who knows Natsume Ono, she is an author who really likes to draw and write about old men. So this is literally a manga about old men playing croquet. I think it's a one-shot. I did not find Rubik's Cube manga. That is actually a panel from Smash. But we're going to move into away from like sports and quasi-sports and into sort of games and things. This is a yo-yo manga. This is great because I was in yo-yo club in college. I was president for a semester, so it combines my love of anime and my love of yo-yos, because there is an anime of this series that's really hard to get. It only came out on VHS because it's like from the 90s. It is also actually by the author of Yakitate Japan, which we'll cover later. But this is his previous manga. So it's barely like thinly veiled, you know, like commercial for Dunkin' Yo-Yos here, yeah. Like how to buy yo-yos. Here's a dramatic scene from the end of this series, which is only 5 volumes long, where the two rivals face off, and they're both doing an off-string trick, which is really difficult if you've ever like seen professional yo-yos. At the end, the idea is to catch the yo-yo back on the string. So the two of them, like both of their yo-yos shoot into the air, and whose will, you know, will they both be able to catch it? And the, you know, the other guy's shot, you know, clanks on the ground in defeat. So it's a very dramatic yo-yo scene. Of course, there's more than one yo-yo-related manga title. This is a classic. Tsukiban Deka. Tsukiban Deka is kind of a combination. It's sort of like a 21 Jump Street. With yo-yos. If anyone remembers that show. She's an undercover cop who was sent into a high school to... The cops make a deal with her that her mother is on death row, and she can get her mother off of death row by busting crime in a high school, and her badge is inside of her yo-yo, which is also her weapon. So then she fights the bad guys with yo-yo, pops open her, you know, yo-yo and shows her badge. She's actually a cop.
How awesome is that?
There's a 22-volume long manga series that started in 1976. The anime is from, I think, the late 90s, and Central Park Media put out, it's like an OVA. There's 3 episodes. It's really good. You can probably get it really cheap. It's kind of cheesy. But more remarkable than that, there's a super long, long-running live-action TV show from, like, the early 90s where, like, different girls play the Tsukiban. So each season, it's like a new Sukuban, kind of like Doctor Who, but just not, you know, regenerating or anything like that. And then there are other there's several movies that are like feature length. Like one of them, the first one has all of the Sukubans working together. One of them takes down a helicopter with a yo-yo in one scene. It's worthwhile. You can get them probably in the dealer's room. I think Media Blasters put out these movies. There's a 2006 movie. Unfortunately, it is by the director of Battle Royale 2, which was horrible. And this movie is so bad, it's funny, but it just doesn't respect the original material.
No, it's not that
funny. Do not want.
Don't
want.
Do not see this movie.
So we move somewhere.
If you take nothing else away from this panel, do not see this movie.
Well, yeah, but it's actually funny. Anyway, so now we're moving on to sort of board games and things like that. So we have Hikaru no Go, which if you're not familiar with, you need to be. The artist is the artist behind Death Note. So the art is really great. And it's one of the most, like, it's really well written, and it's one of the most compelling manga I've read ever. Like, whenever I'm reading it, I'm worried I'm going to miss my subway stop because it's just so engrossing, which you wouldn't really think about, like, two kids sitting down playing a game. Like, that's not really, like, action-packed. But no, it's amazing. I really like Hikaru. If you're not familiar with the plot, he gets possessed by a 1,000-year-old Go Master ghost who takes Hikaru to a pro level of Go playing, but Hikaru wants to win on his own without the ghost's help. So here's what I love about Hikaru no Go is like the sort of abstract scenes, like the camera below the board shot, and also you can see the cosmos behind Hikaru, sort of being enlightened. But what Hikaru no Go is really about is tears on a Go board, manly tears. I've removed some spoilery lines here, but literally tears on a Go board. And you don't have to wait that long either. Like, there's, like, in chapter, like, volume 2, I think, or maybe chapter 2, someone is crying on a Go board. When Viz gets to the last volume, if they release the Gorgeous Character Guide, you can replay all of the Go games in the book if you want to. And I've tried to replay one of the games. I don't think I learned anything. But the last time I was in Japan, I had the honor of talking to the Hikaru no Go translator, who personally apologized for how slow the series is coming out. I was like, no, it's fine. I'm not caught up on reading it. Anyway, Go is like that. Go is a sort of chess-like game if you haven't played it. I think they usually do workshops at Otakon where you can learn how to play Go. Yeah, and there's like a Baltimore Go club. I learned how to play Go because of it. There's also Shogi manga, and Shogi is more directly chess-like. Like, there are kings and pieces and things. This is a very, like, adult kind of Shogi title. There's also, like, Shogi titles for, like, boys. This is more like a shonen level of Shogi title. And I like the scenes from this where it's, like, his Shogi playing is like a speeding express train, although I think Ed pointed out that it's, like, a local train. And his rival girl is, like, just like a bear on a mountain. It's good to have. There's also a Shogi anime that's recent called Shion no U. I think it came out like 2 years ago. But what I like about the first page of the Shion no U manga is seven years ago, my parents were killed. Like the next page, she's going to the Shogi Association. And then eventually she's like, I will definitely become pro. So I'm still wondering, how did it go from this? I will become a pro Shogi player. I don't think that's going to bring her parents back, frankly. But all right.
Ain't that a shame.
Will she avenge her parents' death through Shogi? I hope so. I've heard it's kind of boring. All right. So this is this pair is just a random. So Mahjong is kind of like a poker-like game that's played with tiles in a bunch of Asian countries, and people lose all their money playing it. This is a Mahjong anthology magazine that only has titles about Mahjong. And I would say like the important part about where you find Mahjong magazines, if you ever go to Japan, is say you're in a convenience store, like any kind of typical 7-Eleven or whatever, you've got your regular manga magazines, and as you get closer to the case where the beer is located, there's more and more like porno, and then, you know, Mahjong and porno, and then beer. So for a lonely late 20s, early 30s guy on a Saturday night, I guess Mahjong, manga, and beer and porn. So
yeah, well, if you try to pick it up on a Saturday night, you'll be blocked by Yankees who are all, you know, smoking in the middle of the convenience store.
Maybe. This title is a Mahjong title by a Mahjong professional, and that's why the art is, like, so terrible. And you can tell his character design is not there. But
character's
I'm sure
name is Lucko?
I don't know, was it? But then I'm sure that the Mahjong advice is very sound in this title. And then there's a Mahjong title that was streaming on Crunchyroll, Saki, which is like another Moe Mahjong thing. And there's a lot of sort of Moe Mahjong titles because there are like a lot of essentially like, it's almost like strip poker, but there are games where like Moe characters will teach you how to play Mahjong, like they'll tutor you at it. So there's that kind of like PC market. There's also comics related to that. But the most important Mahjong title that I think a lot of you might already be familiar with is hilarious. It's Legend of Koizumi.
Legend of Koizumi.
which is about the former Prime Minister of Japan playing Mahjong against other world leaders. It is quite awesome, and there's also an anime adaptation that unfortunately nobody is legally streaming, but it's like really short. It's really great. The guy in the back is the protagonist, is Taizo Sugimura, the youngest member of the House of Representatives ever elected. He kind of got elected in a recall election in Hokkaido when he was like, I don't know, 22 or 25. He kind of almost ran as a joke, and he got elected. So they were making fun of him in the Japanese press a lot as kind of being an idiot. Here's a cover of Legend of Koizumi. What you're in for is on the cover. Here's George Bush Jr. Face planting. Face planting on the White House lawn. So here, the Hokkaido senator has lost his clothes because he's been duped by George Bush Jr., who secretly knows how to play Mahjong, but suckered the guy into like a teaching game. And the poor senator who was like, oh no, I didn't notice the Mahjong calluses on his fingers. So he's lost all of his clothes and several F-16s in the process. And so here they are playing against Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice. So Koizumi has to step in and rescue him. And here's a size comparison between George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. I don't know. They call him Papa Bush in this. And I don't know why they would think he's like super manly. Here's Putin. And this is the kind of comic where sometimes people's clothes just explode off.
Well, that happens to Putin in real life.
Like with manly... Yeah, it happens to him in real life, like all the time. Sometimes Koizumi's arm moves so fast when he slams down the tiles that his sleeve catches on fire because it's like friction with the air. And in Volume 2, he plays against the Pope, so...
The Pope uses Catholic magic to cheat at Mahjong.
It's true. We're not going to fight it.
Meanwhile...
So we're going to talk about Kaiji. Kaiji is then locked in a Mahjong battle in the current manga, that's my understanding, but it didn't start off that way. It's not an Uno manga, but that would be really amusing. Because Kaiji, unfortunately, like he co-signed a loan for a coworker that was like a bad loan for the Yakuza, which I think that we all learned the important lesson never to co-sign a loan for someone you barely even know. And then he sort of is being... Do you want to explain the plot?
Really well, fast. Yeah, so he gets in debt with the Yakuza, and because he's kind of a schlub, he just works a minimum wage job and is really lazy and would rather just sort of sit at home drinking beer and watching TV. So he has no real ambition. He is allowed to eliminate his debt by taking part in very dangerous gambling scenarios. Yeah, so frequently Kaiji's life or... limbs or fingers or ears are on the line as he tries to win back enough money that he can get himself out of debt with the Yakuza.
In the first battle, he's in like a deadly... like. So they're always battling for whether or not Kaiji will be sold into white slavery, basically.
Well, or slavery.
His life is always on the line. So they're playing like rock, paper, scissors on a boat for this kind of thing. What Kaiji is really about is manly tears. An ongoing theme of this panel. There's a live-action Kaiji movie starring the guy who played Light in the Death Note movie and Shuya in Battle Royale, but it's not good.
No.
I've heard it's not very great. Okay, so pachinko. If you've ever been to Japan, pachinko parlors are always the most glowing, ridiculous things, like near any train station, and they are more or less casinos where you can't exactly win money. Pachinko games look sort of like this. They can get really elaborate with like lots of video components and stuff. There are of course, also pachinko manga. There was only one pachinko manga, no, only six pachinko manga anthology magazines were around in 1994 when Frederick Shaw was writing about them. But like, I don't think there are any left now. Because the only one I could find was like a pachinko slot magazine, like maybe one of them, where different characters played... this is the scenes from it. I found one. I hoped to find a pachinko magazine when I was in Japan, and I couldn't find one. All I found was a Pachislo magazine where, in the anthology, different characters and different, you know, drawn by different artists, play the same pachinko slot game. It's basically like a promotional piece for the company, like selling this one kind of pachinko game. Anyway, so this is, yeah, characters playing slot machines. There's one pachinko manga you can get in English. Again, it's the $3 ebook mall. It's one called Pachinko Player. It's not very interesting. He wins a lot of silver balls. More remarkable than that is that now there are a couple of pachinko-related anime series. Rio Rainbow Gate is not a great show, but it's better than I thought it would be. Streaming for free and legally on Crunchyroll.com. In the first couple of episodes, she plays more like a realistic gambling games, but then it gets really crazy. But yeah, it's based on a pachinko machine where she's the character who's like a dealer. What's weird about that is like that's not the only pachinko anime. There are like at least two more from the last couple of years. Yoshimune is 24 episodes, and then this one, Kaito Tenshi Twin Angel, I think is, there's an OVA, and there's like a current series for 2011. I think the reason this is happening is because pachinko parlors have really deep pockets. They actually funded the new Evangelion remake films, because the Evangelion pachinko slot machines or whatever, like, they were making lots of money on Evangelion pachinko, and they were like, hey, guys, make some more movies. This is awesome. So those movies are really well-funded. Here's okay. I wanted to include this also. Can anyone guess what's going on in this panel? No. It's OTV. Right. Off-track betting. This is not actually off-track betting manga. That would be amazing. This is actually a scene from a later volume of Hikaru no Go. It's kind of weird. Anyway, one of the characters in their backstory played Hikaru no Go. So we're going to wrap up the kind of sports and gaming section. This is a screenshot of sort of like Japanese Wikipedia. If you look up sports manga, there's this giant list that, you know, includes rugby and lacrosse and things I didn't really get time to cover. It's good times. Poker manga. All right. So then we get some girly titles. There's a long history of dance manga. You can get Forbidden Dance. It's kind of from Tokyopop from a long time ago. But Arabesque is, you know, dance manga from the 70s, but I'm talking about my favorite, Swan. Swan is awesome, if you haven't ever read it. It is manga from the 70s that was published here by CMX, which only recently went out of business halfway through the series. Is great. The art maybe in the first volume isn't that good, but the paneling is all crazy. I like this bottom panel where it has tons and tons of, like, star filter sparkles, and then her eyes are so sparkly, they're just, like, disappearing. This character, like... There's also a lot of information about ballets. Like, here's some information about, like, the Firebird or whatever. So you learn a bit while you're reading it. But mostly the protagonist is having, like, a lot of crazy, like, mental breakdowns all the time from ballet. Like, at one point she goes hysterically deaf. And has... this happens. But it's so great. It's, like, so girly. It goes, like, back around the circle into manly. It's like Kazuo Koike kind of ballet manga. And I can't recommend it enough. It's got really great panels like this. It's so awesome. I'm not even into ballet. This manga is amazing. All right. There's ballet manga. There's also, like, a lot of ice skating manga. There's a long tradition of that. Ice dancing manga, whatever. Okay, you get one ice skating manga in English, Sugar Princess Skating to Win. I'm sure it's in the dealer's room. It's two volumes. Unfortunately, it's not very good. It's more like a romance comic where she likes, you know, her skating partner. So it's more about sparkles and hearts and less about, you know, actual skating information. Moving further into the cute thing. The kitten ring. Yeah. There's tons and tons and tons of cat manga in Japan. Cats sell books all over the world, even here. A friend of mine once saw a book in a bookstore that said, Golfing for Cats, and there was like a picture of a swastika on it, and he was like, what? And he looked at the book, and on the back it was a fiction book, and it was just like, my editor said that three things sell books in America. Like, books about cats, golfing, and, like, you know, books about Nazi Germany history and that kind of thing. But he's like, this isn't about any of those things. And so it was disappointing. But anyway, cats on a cover always sell books. This is the girliest book I could find in Japan. It is hot pink and also has foil sparkle in the title. It's awesome. There are a couple of, that's like an anthology work. They're usually anthologies. There's some cat manga you can get in English. What's Michael is an older one. You can usually get it used. This is not a very great representational panel, but I kept forgetting to put this in here. Sometimes the cats do like anthropomorphic things, like dancing around like Michael Jackson, like the guy in the bottom left. Other times it's about cat owners, but other times the cats are talking and it's like a plot. It's really weird, but the artist is really great. He also does another manga called Club 9 that I really recommend. The other cat manga you can get in English, Chi Sweet Home, also available at Vertical in the dealer's room. Chi appears in this anthology where there's like a prequel where Chi is a kitten. What I really love about this cover, which is the Japanese cover of this type, you know, manga, it says, if you feel no cat, no happy, read this. Like, the marketing is just direct.
Cat is power, cat is peace.
Here are some scenes from one of the cat manga that I picked up. It's just weird, you know, cute stuff. Or things about cat ownership, like, cute four-coma or whatever. And then, like, other kinds of comics that are sort of like what you see on the internet where, you know, people giving cats word bubbles and photos. This one is really good. Okay. The author of Uzumaki, like the horror manga and Museum of Terror, he also has another manga that's not published here. That's Junjo Ito... what is his name? Junjo Ito's cat diary. It says right there. It's creepy. His cats are scary. There's more pet manga you can get in English. I've never read Inubaki Crazy for Dogs, but now we're sort of in the dog title. But it's really long. It's like 18 volumes. It might be ongoing. The other one that went by Raijin Comics that went out of business after only 2 volumes is Bow Wow Wata, and it's about a kid who is the son of a couple of veterinarian parents who can speak to animals, but he doesn't really want to. And it's not, you know, cute and fun. Like, the dog is biting him, and it's a rough time. There's another one that's like basically a yaoi Dr. Doolittle, is my understanding. I haven't read it, but I heard it's really good. So these two pages are, this is the Comiket catalog from 2006. In the back, not on, you know, away from the porno sections, there's like, in the back, there's like the hobby and craft thing, and then there's sort of like the pet manga sections of doujinshi, where it's usually doujinshi about like how to take care of different types of pets. Like, if you were a rabbit enthusiast, it's like tips on what to feed your rabbit and how to breed them or whatever. I don't think anyone actually has pet pandas, but that's like on there. I have a close-up of like, you know, your ferret manga or people raising mice. All right. Who knows what this is? It's not a groundhog. It is a capybara. And if you said capybara, you're right. It's a South American rat-like creature. It's a South American rodent. It's really quite large. Maybe the world's largest rodent. I forget. And you might be wondering, are there capybara manga? Yes. Yes. This is manga capybara. It's a 4-panel comic that I ran across. And I don't know if those are actual capybara facts. Probably not. But it's because there were like a bunch of capybara merchandise in sort of claw machine games in Japan. And like, this is Capybara-san. Capybara-san has become like a merchandise character. So you could get like capybara calendars, capybara like erasers, bento, you know, accessories, things like that. But the only capybara I remember from America is Speak from the Tick. Do you remember that? Anyone?
I love you.
Nobody remembers the Tick? All right. So, crossing over from cats into food, we have Neko Ramen, which is about a real cat that owns, sort of real, that owns like a ramen shop. You can get a couple volumes of this from Tokyo Pop before they went out of business. And he's saying, you know, you're leaving because I'm a cat. And his customers, he's like, eat, you know, eat first, then judge. So the guy eats it, and he's like, it's awful. what's he called? The Taisho? Something like that? He's always like serving kind of horrible ramen, and he has like one customer. Anyway, but there's also ramen manga about actually good ramen that you might want to eat. Here's a cover from such a ramen title, where they draw it in a more sort of realistic vein. What this one is about a truck driver who accidentally, like, runs over this poor kid with his giant, like, ramen truck with a steaming bowl of ramen on the top. And the way he decides to make it up to the guy is to, like, make him his co-pilot and take him out to ramen all the time. So the whole manga is just about them driving to different ramen restaurants and eating different kinds of ramen. And this one is so good, he achieves, like, enlightenment. Like, and that's in volume 1, chapter 1. Like, how are they going to top that?
Manly tears.
Yeah, manly tears, again. And what's great about this ramen manga is that it's all about actual ramen shops that really exist, and they give the hours, so you can go there, like, the address. So there's ramen manga, there's other noodle manga, if you know about soba. There's also at least one title only about soba. This is called Soba-man. I've not really read it, and I've only got this one chapter, so I don't know much about it. Okay, here's one that you can get in English. Is the Cup Noodle Story, which was actually nominated for an Eisner. This is sort of like a documentary manga that was, I think, based on a TV documentary series about like how they developed cup ramen and the guy who made it. And it's got panels like this when they excitingly finally fry the noodles all the way through to the center, and it looks kind of grotesque. It's just, it worked. It cooked all the way through to the center. It just looked nasty. Anyway. You will want to eat cup ramen after reading that manga. And if there's cup ramen, there's also Yoshinoya manga. And there's a Yoshinoya video game as well, where it's like a beef bowl chain restaurant in Japan. And I guess in the video game, you're playing someone working at the restaurant, or you're like owning a franchise of Yoshinoya beef. But in the manga, they explain how it was founded, which is actually really interesting. So moving into sort of like general food titles, there's also Kitchen Princess. Kitchen Princess is shoujo cooking manga, which is amazing. It's 11 volumes from Del Rey, I think it's all, or 13. It's all out now. And you can totally get it. Oh, 10 volumes. Anyway, it's about a girl who has a spoon that some guy left behind when he... I don't know. It's really complicated. Anyway, she has a perfect sense of taste. So she can taste anything once and know all of the ingredients and always remember that she ate it. So that's her secret power. She's also crying while eating. And in the back of each volume of Kitchen Princess, there's a little thing where it tries to teach you how to cook. I did try those for like my other panel. I've tried a couple of the recipes, and with some success. Some of them work better than others. Anyway, here's another cooking title, Cooking Papa. So it may be one of the longest manga ever. And there was a 151-episode anime series. There's live-action drama. All right, I don't know if there's time. I think we're going to skip the video. No, really? Go back. Okay, there's a still from the theme song because there's just too many slides, but do you want to say your bit about...
Well, it's just extraordinarily intimidating. Without just watching the opening, it's without context, but this is the manliest man ever, and the emphasis is on how he's such an incredibly good provider for his ever-growing family because you see his wife is pregnant because he's incredibly virile. And... me, as a male viewer, it's just extraordinarily intimidating.
Because, you know, he's a great cook. I mean, look at that giant square jaw as well. All right. Here's a great foodie manga that you can get in English, Not Love, But Delicious Food, by Fumi Yoshinaga, who is does Antibakery Inoku. We'll talk about Antibakery in a little bit in the dessert section. But she just basically goes to different restaurants like with her assistant and kind of reviews them in comic form and then gives you the hours and tips on going to that restaurant and when not to go because it's crowded and that kind of thing. It's a good time. It's one volume. I got it for like my foodie friends immediately. Like before I finished reading it, I was like buying them additional copies. All right, so we're going to the more specific kinds of food. We have Addicted to Curry. I have not read, but on the cooking panel, some of my friends tried one of the recipes from it. It didn't work out well, but they were using the wrong kind of pumpkin. Anyway, there's also Chinese Cooking, Iron Walk John. Iron Walk John is kind of an anti-hero. He's kind of a villain and will stoop to things like even putting some kind of poison into the food so the judges are like hallucinating and things like that. Here's a grotesque scene from it where he's draining pigeon blood for blood pudding. But it's not all about gross foods. Like, his rival is like a home cook who, you know, believes in making food that's, you know, from the heart and all that stuff. And she's really sweet. And her, like, in volume one, she has kind of a normal breast size. But by volume 27, it's ridiculous. Like, the rocket ships. It's a huge sort of change. Here's the Italian cooking one called Bambino. There's also a live-action drama of this. I like this scene because he's, like, cooking too fast in the kitchen and he cuts his finger. It's really brutal. His coworker immediately slaps him for being so careless. It stars the guy who was in the Hanayori Dango live-action, and he's awesome and cute, I think. So I didn't make it all the way through the Bambino live-action series, but I'm sure it's quite good. We have to talk about competitive baking manga, Yakitate Japan. Where I won't go into it too much because there's a long anime series. It's like 70 episodes, and a lot of people already kind of know it. But Osmo Kazuma has solar hands, so when he kneads bread, it rises faster than normal people's. It's not really about that after the first dozen or so episodes. The manga keeps coming out here. It's like 26 volumes ongoing. Here's a bread-eating scene where like one of the judges has like actually died. It was so delicious. He died for 15 minutes. Here's another scene from later. The French team is trying to kill Azuma, and they're like, yes, our next competition venue is in this deep cave in Mexico. They even perished, even dropped down and abandoned at the bottom of the cave. The Japanese team continues to keep cooking bread, and they're revealed that the theme ingredient is cave fish, and Azuma's like, yes, I will make a bread using fish paste. And they describe how fish paste is made. I like that panel. It's like sharks and flying fish. They go in there. All right. There's also competitive eating manga. This one won an award. It's really popular. It's 21 volumes going. I got it like Kinokuniya in New York. I like the opening of this where it has like a hungry salaryman at lunchtime with not much money in his pocket. And he sees a bunch of people lined up. He's like, oh, what are they doing? And it turns out it's an eating contest. And then he, from then on, starts training to be a competitive eater. Competitive tasting. There's Oishinbo the Gourmet. Oishinbo is excellent. His dad is like a huge food critic in Japan, and he's writing for a newspaper that for their anniversary edition is doing like the ultimate menu. It's kind of foggy what that means because the series became so popular in Japan that like they sort of dropped the premise after a while. Like they're still tasting for the ultimate menu, but it's after, you know, 102, over 102 or 108 volumes of manga, like it's not really that important anymore. So here's some scenes from that. He's eating strawberry pie. The food, and it looks really good. Here's his father. I keep calling him Oishinbo. That's not really his name. But his father is apparently supposed to be like the original Tsundere character. It's very hackle. Anyway, I love this gyoza scene. He's like boiled gyoza, just as I thought. But these people are like, I love the texture of the skin. It just slides right into your mouth. And this guy, it feels as if the skin is caressing my tongue and lips. An old man saying it's kind of disgusting. Viz put out seven sort of collected volumes of Oishinbo manga, and they kind of collected it by cuisine. So like one of them, like The Joy of Rice, I like to talk about because it's like the most like patriotic go Japan kind of like volume that you could ever read, because you know Japan is at the soul. I mean, rice is the soul of Japanese people. Well, the vegetables volume, that might sound awful and sort of boring, but it was interesting. And there's this recipe for how to cook asparagus in it that I still use. I didn't even used to like asparagus, and it's amazing if you cook it this way. We have a lot of panels, so keep going. I mean, a lot of pictures. All right, so here at Oishinbo, this one isn't in the translated version. He drinks a lot of wild turkey and goes on a rampage through the office. here are some other scenes from, like, untranslated volumes. I think they cover mad cow disease at one point. Another picture of George Bush there. Now we're sort of moving from food into like alcohol. So there's a sake volume, and the sake volume is like the opposite of the rice volume. It has a lot of national shame, where at one point sake production was like made less good by some bad practices. So there's a lot of like, oh no, how will we save sake? Which also comes up in Moyashimon, which I think I cut from Moyashimon. Anyway, you should also check out Moyashimon. There's wine manga as well, Drops of God, coming soon from Vertical. It's about wine tasting, and, well, it has panels like this, where she tastes this wine and then is transported to a two-page splash with a field of flowers. It's written by a couple of wine critics in Japan who wanted to get away from using, like, traditional wine criticism language, so they have descriptions like, this wine is like going to a Queen concert where Freddie Mercury's, you know, vocals waft above the music. Here our protagonist is tasting it and, like, you know, envisioning the Queen concert and thinking, the description's right. This is also about crying while eating, so there's, like, crying while drinking wine. There's a live-action drama from a couple years ago. It was 9 episodes. Ryu from Gokusen stars in it. It's not great, but I do recommend the first episode because it almost has, like, a magical girl transformation where he says something like, Hail Bacchus, and they cut to a bunch of stuff.
Awaken.
Awaken Bacchus.
Awaken Bacchus.
It's amazing. There are wines the actual plot is, like, in order to win his father's, like, huge wine collection, because his father was a big wine critic, he has to, like, compete with another man and to find a bunch of rare wines that is by the descriptions that his father has left. So those are real wines that are in the book. They're looking for the 12 apostles of wine or something like that. And one of the French winemakers who was making this wine, like, withdrew the wine from the market because it started to, like, skyrocket in price. But that means, like, nobody can have it. Like, he said he wanted to keep it within reach of everyone, but I don't think that's really... Anyway, interestingly about this wine title is it really popularized wine in Korea. Koreans don't know that much about drinking, like, wine, like from France or whatever. So when this became really popular in Korea, like, wine sales skyrocketed because then it sort of informs you about wine and it approaches it like you're a beginner, like you've never drank wine, you don't know anything about pairings or vintage. So it's really like basics. And so it really like educated people towards that. But then everyone wanted to drink the wine that was in the comics, so that got really expensive. All right. Here's another wine manga, Le Sommelier, by the same person who's the bartender that we'll talk about in a minute. It's, you know, the art's not quite. All right. So what do you eat? Well, you enjoy a fine wine manga. This is Jason Thompson, the author of Manga Complete Guide at a Manga Tasting Party, where they're actually drinking manga here. Here's a hint. It's cheese. He was shredding manga. But not cheese, the shoujo magazine. No, manga about cheese. This title is called A Time for Cheese. I'm about a cheese expert. I don't have that many panels from it. All right, running a little short on time. There's also an Oishinbo volume just about cheese. Oh, these got out of order. All right, Bartender is an 11-episode anime series. It's about a bartender who, like, magically knows exactly what drink you need to solve your problems without you even ordering it. It's amazing. There's also a live-action, 8-episode live-action drama. There's a long history of, like, bartending manga. There's also Bar Lemon Heart. Here our manga critics have passed out and are throwing up manga. But after the wine course and the cheese course, there's a dessert course, non-competitive baking antique bakery, which has a lot of scenes of delicious food, is not yaoi. Like, I have to give that disclaimer. There's also an anime series of it. And there's a live-action Korean movie that I recommend. It is ridiculous, but it also stars a lot of super cute guys. And then after, you know, desserts, we need coffee. So there's a coffee manga. This one is about a guy who, like, he's the heir to a tea house, but he's chosen to drink coffee instead, which is actually similar to Drops of God plot. He's preparing coffee here. And here's two more coffee manga titles I came up with. There's Barista, which is at least five volumes. Another one that has really interesting art. Coffee Mon something. But, Coffee Tulsi. It has, like, really crazy good art. And I seem to have lost my volume of this. Anyway, here's a manga about really tasting really grotesque and crazy foods called Junk Food Hunter, where some of the foods they try in it are, like, natto parfait, plenty of shaved ice, melon soba, squid ink juice. This goes on for, like, five volumes, but it's autobiographical as well. So, like, the author and the assistants, like, go and actually try these real foods at real cafes.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Well, yeah, here's the natto parfait here.
There you go.
They try it. He has to have someone hold his nose. But it's okay. It's not that bad. And if you want to try a natto parfait, like, here's the address and the hours of the restaurant. There's also a train bento manga, and I don't want to go too much into it, but it's just, that one is actually about going to each train station in Japan, and there's a guy who's famous for doing that. So the only way he can bribe the manga artist to go along with him is by saying, like, oh, we can get these different kinds of food, and then she'll go. But there is a train bento manga just about actual train bento, where the author and his editor ride different obscure train lines and try the specialty foods of that region. It's good times. Okay, Toriko, I have to talk about, where it's a Shonen Jump title, but it takes place in a crazy fantasy land of giant monsters. So this sort of, like, combines sort of gourmet food criticism type stuff, like Oishinbo, but with, like, monster hunting. Here he's downing an entire bottle of Maker's Mark. The drinking has really been played down for the anime. Catches, like, this huge fish. Oh, his bait was the cricket, the giant cricket, I want to point that out, to catch this guy, which is then almost immediately stolen from him by a giant bird. But it's all right, because Toriko, like, slams the bird into the ground and then points out that it's okay, his fishing pole was made with, like, elevator wire. This is a Toriko bento, which I find amusing. All right. This Shoujo cooking manga, Mixed Vegetables, is not great. We're going to pass that. Salaryman manga. Kosakushima has been going on forever. I'm going to drink water. You talk about Kosakushima first.
Kosakushima is a long-running salaryman manga. It's very popular. It follows him from sort of a rank trainee in the company all the way up, as you see, to becoming president eventually.
Yeah, so you can see my age there. And the prequel is like when he's a younger person. Then there's economics manga, which falls in with Salaryman. You can get this from, like, the University of California Press on Amazon. There's usually a few used copies. It's one big, thick... And it's about, like, the crisis in, like, the early 80s with the Japanese car companies and American car companies. So these people here in the front are workers in Detroit protesting. And it's like, I love their banner that says, "Get back our job." Like, Detroit had one job, and they lost it. I haven't finished reading this yet because it's really long and quite dry and has, like, charts and, like, long sections of text. There are also sex scenes, but I just didn't put those in the panel. There's another economics title. There's an anime. You want to talk?
Well, this is, it's less economics, it's management. I mean, it says management right on there. It's a very popular management self-help book, you could almost say, by Peter Drucker. It was very popular in the 1970s in America, but for whatever reason, it's been resurrected in Japan, and this is a manga about a high school girl who's the manager of the baseball team, and she uses Peter Drucker's management principles to improve their play.
This is a, like, more finance manga. This is the old Osaka way of finance, about a novice financier. I'm going to say financier, but that's the pastry shop. That's covered in Frederick Schott's book, Dreamland Japan, which I highly recommend. It covers a bunch of weird stuff. And this is a law textbook that's been translated into manga form called Criminal Defense Stories, the manga. There's also the OEL Manga Guide to Statistics. I don't know if they can make statistics more interesting, like,
nope.
Even with manga. Then there's economic biography manga, Warren Buffett. And I love this. I love how this book starts, because it's like exterior, space, the earth, and then interior, a mother's womb, like zooming all the way in, where Warren Buffett's about to be born. It's got, you know, some investor tips. It's really light reading, and it's not like, I read it in like an hour. It's not a long book. And there's a follow-up sequel, George Soros. Hooray. Manga. also a manga for office ladies. Office U magazine is an anthology. The one that I've included here is Supli, because it's my favorite. They've just put out volume 4 and 5 in one big thick chunk. There's a live action drama of this too. It's about a woman who's like, she's 27 or so, and her boyfriend of 7 years has just left her, and she realizes that all she has in her life is like her work, where she's an advertising executive. It's kind of depressing, kind of breakup manga. Here she feels pathetic, and she's standing on the backs of more pathetic people in the pathetic people pyramid. It has really great art, and I recommend it. It's kind of a sad story. Another sad story, especially among moms with light, raising an autistic child. It's about a woman raising her autistic kid. It's real, and it's a true story. I think there's also a drama about this one, too. But here's another specialty manga for moms. Yan Mama is Yankee, like a Yankee mom. And this is
a punk
Yankee mom anthology magazine from the mid-90s. Well, I'm going to explain. Yankee is like Tsukumon and Bosozoku and this sort of thing. If you want to find out more about Yankees, you should just read Japanese Schoolgirl Inferno. Here is the cover of Yan Mama magazine. All right, so there's more TV-based documentary manga. This one's about the founding of 7-Eleven from the same... It's from, like, the Cup Noodle series. I recommend it, though, because it turns out, like, 7-Eleven in Japan invented a lot of things that are still used in convenience stores today, like the cooler that gets stocked from the back was made because Japanese stores that they were buying were way too small to put in a typical cooler. Anyway, here's a manga about studying for a test. These students are studying to get into Tokyo University, and this is, like, a practical study guide, like helping you really study for exams manga. So this old man is talking them through different kinds of equations. There's also manga about jail. This is the autobiographical story. Why did this guy go to jail?
Oh, he went to jail because he was he was holding on to guns for a friend. The mangaka is a big gun enthusiast, and of course guns are very illegal in Japan, so he was holding on to some and got busted, so he wound up with like 2 years in prison. But as you can see, he remembers his time there so well that he's able to very intricately detail, especially the food, which was the best part of his time there.
It's almost like a food manga, but about jail. All right. There are manga about homeless people. Arakawa Under the Bridge is a recent...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the anime just came out. We don't have the manga here, but that's more of like the sort of fantastical story of a guy meeting a girl who's beautiful and homeless, and she says she's from Venus, so she's probably schizophrenic. But there's another like biographical homeless person manga that's a one-shot called Disappearance Diary. That's about a sort of like sci-fi manga author who like goes missing when he's stressed from work. He goes to kill himself in the woods, but he fails and just ends up like living in the woods for several months. Later, he goes into like rehab for alcoholism, but he's drawn it in a purposely cartoony style to make it at least depressing as possible to read. And in fact, yeah, it's not that depressing. Like it's a great sort of one-shot book. It won a bunch of awards in Japan. So now we're getting into sort of like the random potpourri of title, like kind of miscellaneous titles. And then at the end, we're going to have... we've got a few things to give away. And if there are any donuts left, but I don't think so, you can have some. And we've got business cards. But I'm going to wrap up soon for the next panelist. There's also a yaoi about the French Revolution. It's also by Fumi Yoshinaga, the author of Antique Bakery. I'm just saying, don't read that one on the subway. The opening scene's pretty brutal. And there's, like, OEL religious manga, like the manga Bible, the manga Messiah. But this is really manga about the life of Jesus, and I think it's filmed digitally. There's also a manga about Buddhism, basic Buddhism through comics, I believe it's in English. This is about some guys who decide to be Zen monks to impress a girl. It's called Fancy Dance. There's also the classic about the life of Buddha, which was actually funded by a cult. But anyway, it's came out with a lot of beautiful art. There's an anime movie that just came out this year. It's so that there's some beautiful dramatic scenes, but also like laughing dinosaurs. I don't know. That's what you get when you meet Tezuka. But I mean, you're really wondering like, so what would it be like if Jesus and Buddha were roommates?
Yeah. Age-old question.
Right. In modern day Japan, maybe in 2002 or whatever. So anyway, Saint Young Men is about just that. I'm not really sure why a turkey is delivering Buddha a Christmas card, but you know. And I haven't really read that much of it. I think Jesus keeps filling the cabinets with loaves, but not on purpose. Like, here he's like, he seems ashamed.
Kind of embarrassed.
Yeah, he's kind of embarrassed about like the loaf creation. But Buddha has trouble with Salaryman, like pushing his like the dot on his forehead and like hanging off his ears. Like they're wondering what will happen if the crown of thorns blooms. Oh wait, this is the grace panel. That would be awkward.
Balls.
Okay, we have to get through these last three in the last 3 minutes. This is manga funded by a cult, the Aum Shinriku, who also funded an anime based on that manga. There's massage manga. You can't really learn that much about massage from Magic Touch, the 9-volume series complete from Viz, but she meets a guy with a perfect back for massage and wants to be in love with him, I guess. But there's not as much massage information as I'd hoped, unfortunately. But they do teach you some things, like, oh, here's a point anyone can do. All right, this manga is manga issued by the U.S. Navy to, like, make Japanese people feel okay about having a nuclear, you know, carrier in their harbor. You can read it all online. This is a sewing love comedy. Here's another, like, sewing, like, knitting love manga comedy. IKEA manga, maybe? We're not really sure. Manga about Ubuntu? No engineers this time?
Yeah, it's an operating system.
And finally, the crowning jewel. Okay. Urology manga. We have time?
No.
Singing? Okay. Urologist save the world. And that is the last title. So I will say, yeah, it's kind of brutal. Alright. So, I recommend these two books, The World of Japanese Comics, Dreamland Japan. You probably find them in the newsroom. This is me and Noah. There's our podcast and all the places we write for. So come and get business cards, a couple things, any donuts, and we're out of here. Thank you so much. Thank you.